Good morning, church. If we could all come into the sanctuary, please, those that are in the hall. Welcoming church, welcoming those that's Facebook land. I am going to be coming this morning from Isaiah 40, and I'm going to be starting at the 29th verse. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Yesterday I was reading my devotional, and Isaiah 40 and 31, this is the verse that stood out. And then it went on to say, it says, this verse compares the hope of those who trust in God to the soaring wings of eagles. Eagles are the only birds that fly in storms. When all other birds try to hide from the storm, an eagle will actually fly into it and use the wind of the storm to rise high above it. This allows them to get altitudes they would never have been able to reach on a normal sunny day. Just as eagles can fly high above the chaos and turmoil of the world below, we who place our hope in the Lord can rise above our seemingly overwhelming circumstances. So, Father God, this morning, first of all, Father, I just want to say thank you. I want to just say thank you for bringing us here, gathering us here this morning, Father. I thank and praise you how you brought us all here safely, Lord God, without any hurt, harm, or danger, Lord God. I thank and praise you how you watched over each and every one of us as we slept through the night, Lord God. Father, I praise your holy name, Lord. And Father, each and every one of us in here, and those that are listening by Facebook, we're all enduring some sort of storm in our life. But Lord, as the eagle, Father God, let us run into that storm, knowing, Father God, that you, Father God, and you alone have us, Lord God. Lord, even in the midst of the storm, the pain, the heartache, the turmoil, whatever it is, God, that life has dealt for us right now. Father, I ask, God, that you would lift us up above it and let us walk with you. Father God, knowing, God, that you and you alone are our strength, Lord God, Jesus. Lord, we thank and praise you. Even when the storms come, we thank you, Lord God. Even when they subside, we thank you, Lord God. Lord, I just praise your holy name this morning. I pray for our pastors this morning that you would touch their bodies right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask, oh God, that you would send healing to them this morning right now, God. I lift them up to you right now, Father, and anyone that's sitting right now in this sanctuary, Father, that's going through any sort of storm, Father, I ask, God, that you would touch them supernaturally, God, that you would heal them, Father, that you would send deliverance to them right now, Father, that you would send your hope to them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just love you. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We magnify you. We give you the glory, Father, because you are so worthy. You are so good, Lord. You're worthy to be praised, Lord God. And I just thank you, even in the storm, God, that I'm walking through, Father God. I thank you for carrying me. I thank you for giving me the strength to endure it, Lord God. I praise your name. I thank you for keeping me, Father God. Lord, I just love you. I love you, Lord. And no matter what it is, Lord, that I'm feeling on the inside or any of us, Father, I know, God, that you are with us, Father. I know that you know better than we know. And sometimes the storms hurt. They don't feel good, Lord. But we know, God, that you know what's best for us. And we just thank and praise you this morning, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Morning, church. Get your cups if you don't have one. This is the portion we do communion. But looking at the faces, I think everybody knows that. I want to pray for Pastor Oz and Jan real quick before we start, if you don't mind. That was been on my heart. Lord God, we just lift up our pastors, Lord. We thank you so much for them, Lord God. They are a blessing to us beyond, yes, Lord, what we could have asked or imagined that you would give us, Lord. I ask that you would strengthen them, Lord, today. I ask that you would encourage them. Lord, I pray for peace, Lord, in the depths of their being today. Lord, I pray that you would bring forth healing to their bodies, Lord God, to that little dog, Lord God. I pray, Lord, for even compliance for the dog, Lord. I pray that he would be just a little guy that would just go with the flow as far as his healing goes, Lord. And I ask that you would bless them this day, Lord God, in Jesus' name. I'm not supposed to touch it.
I don't want to touch it.
I'm afraid, a little bit afraid over here. Okay, so I want to talk to you a little bit today about wells. So bear with me. I'm going to throw a few things together, and they're going to blend. I believe that the Lord's going to blend them. But wells in Scripture are very precious. And we have to imagine ourselves that we live in a desert with nothing. And we forget that. I mean, none of us here, I'm looking around, I don't think anybody's country folk. You know, they got a little bit better idea, I think, of what that means. You know, you got to drive a long way just to get to the mire if you have one. I mean, we in the city have everything we need very close by. And we have to remember that wells in Scripture were few and far between. They were scarce. And people knew the great need they had for the well. And think about our basic needs. What do we need? We need shelter. We need water. We need food. This was one of the basic needs for human survival, for survival of all life, was a well. So they were precious. So because they were precious, they would name them. And I really want to do a study on the names of wells because I think it'd be fascinating. So I'm going to talk about one well here today. So I already said they were scarce. And I want us to imagine while I'm speaking that we are in a desert and that we have nothing. We don't have a CVS on the corner to go get some bottled water. I don't have a faucet that I can go turn on to get water for me and my family. We have to go to the well. So they're scarce. They're an image of life and value. Like I said, they're of great value. And we know that Jesus is the living water. I mean, the Son of God himself refers to himself as water. See, humans and flocks use it. It's not just for us. Everything that's alive needs some kind of water. And I love that it wasn't just for, like, me and mine. You know, like, my husband's mother had a cabin up north. It was a dive, but, you know, we spent a lot of good years up there when the kids were young, enjoying the water. And but she had a well. And that well was just hers. Every cabin had their own well. But see, in Scripture, wells were used for the whole community. It wasn't just your well. If you were passing by and you needed to water yourself or your flock, you would stop at the well. So it was a community well. They were of such value that in the Old Testament, there were disputes over them. Imagine fighting over a well. I mean, have you ever fought over water? I don't think so. I haven't. But there was disputes over father and son even. I didn't get heavy into that because it's just a communion word, so I didn't want to get deep into too much. Betrothals happened at wells. I did a teaching at a woman's day, I don't know, a year or two ago, whatever it was, and betrothals happened at wells. They met their wives there. They were betrothed there. A well was a community place where people would gather and talk, and because everybody had to go there, right? Moses met his wife at the well. Jacob met his wife at the well. The woman at the well, when Jesus met with her, he was basically saying that he wanted to commit with her. He wanted to make a covenant with her. It's a beautiful thing, really, when you think about it. God meets people at wells. It's very important to realize that he meets people there. I already mentioned the Samaritan woman, how he met her there. So I want to talk a little bit about Hagar. Now, I think you guys all know who Hagar was. She was Sarai's maidservant. And Sarai couldn't have children, so she told Abraham, you know, go ahead with my maidservant and give me a child. So he did. He listened to her. And apparently Haggai got a little bit haughty and looked at Sarai the wrong way, and Sarai didn't like that too much. So she went to Abraham and, you know, was complaining about her, and Abraham said, do what you want, you know, just whatever, just do what you want with your maidservant. So she was harsh with her, and Hagar ran. She ran. And how many of us, when things get tough, we run? Don't we? In our minds, physically. I mean, I see some people are here sometimes they're not. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're running from. I don't know. Maybe they're not running. Maybe they're just lazy. I don't know. But we run. When things get tough, we run. So she runs, and she finds herself at a stream. Now, it says there's two different things here. It says that she's at a stream, and it also says that she names a well. So I'm not sure what that was. And I didn't, like I said, I didn't do a deep dive, so I'm not really sure exactly. But I'm going to read a little bit, Genesis 16. So I filled you in on the story. At 13, let me go to 10. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, Haggai, where have you come from, or where are you going? She says, I'm fleeing the presence of my mistress Sarai. So the angel says to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. I go on, the angel says, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that you shall not be counted for multitude. I'm going to go down a little bit. And she says, then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. Now let's remember, this is an Egyptian woman. Egyptians had many gods. There was not a one God. She was not a Jewish woman. So she had many gods, and she recognizes that this visitation is God. I think that's powerful. And let's remember the status of women back then, too. They were nothing. And he went to her. The angel of the Lord came to her in her running. And we know sometimes God comes to us, and sometimes he doesn't. He lets the prodigal go, right? But in this instance, he comes to her. And she says, the name of the Lord who spoke to her is, you are the God who sees. For she says, have I also seen him who sees me? So she's asking a question. And the side note here says that she saw the back of, and immediately I thought of Moses and how God hit him in the cleft of the rock and said, you can't see my face, but I'll let you see the back of me. Did she see the back of God? I'd love to really do a study on that and find out, but I'm telling you, this Egyptian woman, this slave, had an encounter with God. Therefore, the well was called, and I'm going to slaughter this, I'm sure, Beer Lahai Roy. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, who Hagar bore, Ishmael. And it says that, he was old. So we see that whatever happened there must have been pretty significant, because this woman, this Egyptian slave woman, was allowed to name a well, something scarce and of such value, and she's allowed to name this well. You're the one who sees me. It's also called the well of the one who lives and sees. See, we have to remember that he sees us. And when we're in difficult times, don't you have a hard time sometimes? You're praying, you're waiting, and you wonder, is he seeing me? Does he hear me? Where's my answer? I remember when Tim was here, he said his wife says every week, as long as you have a word from God, you're going to be okay. And we wait for that word from God. Sometimes we run, like she did. But we wait. And in that waiting, sometimes we forget that he does see us. See, things happen and change at wells. And I love that. Your whole life can change. Think about this woman. Her whole life changed at that well with an encounter with Jesus. You're single, you end up married. Like I just said, she had a vision of God, a greater revelation of the God who we knew. changes at that well. We get direction. She had direction. Go back to your mistress. Can you imagine what she must have thought all those years? I'm sure it wasn't always great. And she had to go back. See, we need to draw from that well. We need to remember we have a necessity to draw from the well. And we know that the well is the living water of Jesus. And what I thought was interesting when I was praying about this and thinking about this is the Samaritan woman, when Jesus met her, he had her draw from the well for him. See, sometimes we need each other to draw from the well and give us a word. When you're waiting on God and God alone to speak, you might be missing it, because it might be Pastor John that gives me a word. It might be Scott. It might be Lydia. Could be anybody. Could be anybody that draws from that well on our behalf. And you know what? When you're desperate, when you're thirsty, when there's nothing else but that source of water, you're going to be grateful you got a word from somebody else and they drew that water for you. And even Jesus himself gave us the example and said, draw for me. So we need to be listening to our brothers and sisters in Christ and discerning whether God is speaking to us through them. Now I'm going to go to Genesis 25. Now when I you guys know, I think most of you here know, I had stage 3 breast cancer in 2021 through COVID, as if that wasn't enough to go through COVID. I got to do breast cancer too. And I routinely have these tests now. They, you know, put me through the rigmarole, which is fine, whatever. They're keeping a close eye on me. So I had an MRI in September, completely clean, didn't see nothing, no big deal. Had my routine mammogram in February, and they found something. Well, radiologist doesn't know what it is. I'm like, I get a call out of the blue, totally surprised, wasn't expecting it. I'm like, great, okay. I was concerned, wasn't freaking out, but I was concerned. So I have to go get an ultrasound. He still doesn't know what it is. Okay, now I'm getting a little worried. And mind you, this whole process takes like 6 weeks. He wants a biopsy. So I'm starting to get in a little bit of a tailspin. You know, oh, geez, I don't want to go through this. I can't go through this again. Lord, what am I going to die? I mean, just the whole thing, you know. And I'm reading scripture, and I love how the Lord does this. You're just minding your own business, and you're just reading the word, and bam. So I'm reading just through the Old Testament, because I like to go back and forth, because I love the Old Testament, but I want to be in the New Testament too. It's Abraham, Isaac. Abraham dies. His wife has previously died, so Isaac and Ishmael bury their father. I mean, and you can imagine, he just gets a wife. You know, if you've lost a parent, I don't care how old you are, it's life-changing to lose somebody close to you, you know, parent, spouse, whatever. It really is life-changing. So here he is. He's just buried everybody. And it says in verse 11, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt at Beer Lahai Roy. And when I read that, and Isaac dwelt at Beer Lahai Roy, I was like, wow. He lived there. He lived by the well of the God who sees. Okay, pastor, like this. I went to my Hebrew interlinear, which took me probably 5 minutes to read that sentence because it's backwards. It takes Hebrew, and I'm telling you, it'll be like a word underneath a word, and it's the same sentence, and you got to figure out, it's interesting. So this was just one sentence. I had to figure out what this said, and it literally took me probably 5 minutes. But in the Hebrew interlinear, it said, and Isaac lived by the well of the living one, my seer. Isn't that good? He lived there. And see, we tend to think of wells as you draw water and you leave. You go home. You get enough water to last you through the day. And it's important to remember, too, when we draw from the well of Jesus, we're going back throughout the day to get that water. You don't drink it once and you don't drink anymore throughout the day. You're going. You're continually going to draw from that water that you drew. And we need to remember, when God speaks to us, we need to continue to go back to that. So I had to, through this process of this biopsy, go back to that. Lord, you're the one who sees. Lord, you know. I'm going to live here at this well. I'm going to draw from what I know from you. You are true. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord. All things are in your hand. I mean, think of all the things in Scripture that we can draw from that well. But we need to live there. We need to live there like Isaac did. See, Isaac knew his source for future and current situations. It was the well of the one who sees. Supply comes from the well. God will provide the living water we need at that well. It's provision, it's peace. I had a peace. Once I heard from the Lord, and I'm like this, I just need to hear from God. Once I get that word from God, I'm okay. I mean, I might have a moment, like I said, because I'm human, we have moments. But I just need to hear that word, and I go back to it, I'm okay. I am completely, seriously okay. See, I think we would do well to realize that we live in the desert. This world has nothing, nothing for us. I mean, praise God for doctors. I believe Jesus healed me, but I believe he used the doctors. And I did what they said. I was a good patient. I just jumped through the hoops and tried not to complain, be grateful for the people who were helping me. But, you know, we have to draw from that well. We have to realize that we live in a dry and barren place. Tim actually sent out that prayer this morning. I think he sends it out to most of the church. We have nothing. God isn't impressed with our strength. He's not impressed with our ability. He is not impressed with our flesh. As able as it is, and I'm very able. I'm very, something needs to get done, I can do it. And you know what? He's not impressed. Sometimes we just have to sit back and draw from the well, and trust him. So, what do you need to draw today from the well? Is it health? Is it joy instead of sorrow? Is it faith? Is it hope? I mean, I look at some situations in my life or in others' lives, and I think, Lord, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. I just don't know. Maybe I need to draw from that well more hope and more faith. But we all need to draw something. So let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you that what was done at the cross was enough.
Thank you.
Lord, we can do all things through you who strengthens us, Lord God. And you provided it all at the cross, Lord God. There is nothing in me, Lord God, that can provide for what I need. Lord, it is all in you, and I draw from you today, Lord God. I bless this church with an ability to draw from the well of the one who sees.
Yes, Lord.
To live by the well of the one who sees, Lord God. We need you for everything, Lord.
Yes.
All in all, Lord, you are our all in all. I thank you for your body. Lord, may it strengthen us today and give us hope. I thank you for your blood, Lord God. Let it cleanse us.
Yes.
Lord, as we go about our day today, Lord God, but let us remember, Lord God, that you are our source. We draw from you, and we continue to draw from you throughout the day, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that you provide all that we need, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God, y'all. Amen. I'm going to open up with a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for this day.
Yes.
We thank you. We thank you so much for this day. We thank you for keeping us, watching over our families and our loved ones, Lord God. But we just ask today that those that have not made it or that are on the way that you watch over them, but those that are home, Lord God, that this message today will penetrate their hearts and their minds, Lord God, because you are so much more than what we're preaching here. You are so much more. And I thank you for the revelation, and I thank you for the understanding that you give us through our pastors and just through your illumination of the word, Lord God. Now continue to be with us, guide us, protect us, and just bless those that are home and those that are about to hear the word. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the first thing I want to start off with is, man, last week was so powerful. Janine delivered a powerful, powerful word. And it definitely gave me some things to think about. I mean, my favorite characters are Joseph, Elisha, Elijah, Daniel. And those guys are mostly prophetic, but it's just something that gripped me with these guys when I was young in Christ. Those stories just gripped me and they got my attention. And when she said the story of Joseph was like a parallel to Jesus, oh man, that really, really opened up my eyes to some things, because I've been studying him for years and never, ever saw it. That was good. But Teresa, man, I don't know. When did you get this word? When did you get your word? Wow, it's funny. When the Lord got me, I was going to preach about us having two sets of eyes. These eyes don't count, but it's the eyes on the inside of your spirit, man. I was going to preach on that. I was going to walk down through there with that. He said, nope, I woke up this morning, bam, Abraham. The blessings of Abraham. And when I heard you say Hagar, I knew right then and there, that's what God wanted. He wanted to have a word about Abraham. I thank God for Abraham. Abraham is such a powerful, powerful piece in this whole scheme of God and his descendants. Because if it wasn't for good old Abraham, who knows how things would have gone for us. See, it was Abraham that opened up the door for us to be entered in. It was all a plan, yeah, from the very beginning, but it's people obeying, hearing, seeing, and obeying God that changes things for other people. Come on, y'all. Come on. It is. It's just amazing to me. And so as I studied this, I'm like, I kept hearing over the years, the blessings of Abraham, the blessing. And then one day I just said, hold on, God, what blessing? And he took me back. Now this was never a word in me. It just was something I studied over a period of time. But God said, I want you to bring this forth, because it's somebody at home or somebody in the congregation that needs to hear this. Every one of us here, we are blessed. I don't care what you going, I don't even care to hear it. We're all blessed. Regardless of what you're going through, regardless of your kids, grandkids, auntie, mama, whoever it is, whatever they did, you are blessed. And we take too much time looking at what's not happening in our lives instead of stopping and opening up your other set of eyes on in your spirit, man, and seeing what God has planned for you. Abraham had no idea that God was going to make him the father of many nations. Had no idea. He was just going along and going through life until God appeared unto him. And I'm going to start in verse 15 of Genesis. I mean, chapter 15 of Genesis. I'm going to be jumping back and forth a little bit, but I'm going to tell you something. Is somebody here? You don't understand who you are. This message is for you. It's somebody at home. You don't understand who you are. You are a descendant of Abraham. Abraham was blessed big time. And you are too. But are you receiving the blessings? Are you receiving it? You have to receive it. You have to receive the blessings of God. You just can't say, oh, well, that's mine. No, you have to receive it. Because it's a certain place and a certain time that the Holy Spirit is going to release it unto you. And if your eyes are not open, if you're too busy worried about worldly things, too busy worrying about this, that, or the other, you're going to miss it. It's Satan's plan for you to miss it. But Abraham didn't miss it. Watch. 15. God had already been dealing with Abraham over in 12 and back to 13 to 15. But I'm going to go back to 12 in a little bit. Watch this in 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. God don't always talk to you verbally. I'm not trying to act like I'm got it going on. But the one thing I do thank God for is the revelation gifts. Is the revelation gifts. He gives me revelation about things. Ask God, what is it with you? People, we got to quit sitting on our gifts. We sitting on them. Ask him. It ain't too late. Abraham was 99. Are you hearing me? I'm encouraging you today. Abraham was 99. If it God allowed me to live to 99 and I get it, I'm going to be happy. He's always showing me something, even like the landscaping. Pastor Phil, man, I did not want to do that. I didn't want it. I'm like, God, I ain't doing that. He was like, you don't even know how good you are at it. I was like, man, I don't be cutting no grass, man. And then I remember the word I got. I remember the word I got. And God said, you are not going to get prosperity from one channel. It's going to be many different channels of how you're going to prosper. I was like, wow. And so I said, okay, cool. And so I went over with my homeboy, helped him out. And guess what? He starts saying, man, Berta, I'm going to have you go. When I get the new customers, I'm going to have you go first. He said, because when you go do it, they love it. He said, I'm going to use you to catch them. And I was like, wow, God, I am good at this. But the point of it is God might be setting you up, telling you to do that. He might be setting you up for something greater, but you got to be obedient. You got to have your eyes open, and you got to hear what he's telling you to do now, because God is now. God ain't tomorrow. He's now. The blessings are now. You got to receive it now. Abraham received it then, right when God started talking to him about it. And that's what makes the difference with his walk. Watch this. 15, I'm in the latter part of 15. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What is that? Thy shield and thy great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Wow. Crazy. And watch this, 6. And he believed in the Lord. The story would have changed. It would have totally changed if Abraham had any doubt in what God just told him. Here's the spirit world. Here's the natural world. Ask God to open up your eyes. Ask him to let you see. See, brothers, I'm trying to encourage y'all to another level. Because the things I'm seeing, I'm like, man, God, I can't believe you're showing me this, but I'm glad he is. But I make myself open to him. You have to make yourself open to him. Push all of what's going on with everybody and everything out. Even with my kids, you know, the Lord is just telling me, yeah, Bert, it's going to come a time, man, where I am going to move you forward because there's some things I want to do with you. They're going to have to get it on their own. And I'm like, Lord, well, what is it? What he said, the point of the matter is, I'm not going to need anybody being a distraction unto you when I start this. He said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to open this door for you. He said, I'm going to open up the door, and the things that I'm showing you and sharing with you, you are going to share. It's a special people that I have for you. He said, you start the class, they're going to come. He said, because they're going to learn how to believe like you. You're not just the ordinary Christian. You're not. But see, I saw him deliver me from the worst possible situation where I was living at to a favorable situation right out here down the street. And I really truly believe God. And I'm telling y'all, everybody in here is something in your life that God wants to do. You better receive this prophetic word. It's something in your life that God wants to do. You got to believe that he can do it. What he going to take you through, I don't know. Just go through it. Because in the end, it's going to be victorious. That's the same thing that happened with Abraham. He's saying now, oh, I ain't got no kid. God said, I got something for that. But he believed. He believed. That means he trusted. Now, I'm going to give this footnote that's in my Bible. Watch this. For the first time, faith and righteousness are mentioned together. God counted Abraham's faith as righteousness. He made him right standing with him. Watch this. The footnote says, the first time faith and righteousness are mentioned together in Scripture. Faith had a twofold designation, trust in or reliance upon, and fidelity to or faithfulness. Thus, believe means to preserve, to persevere in trust and belief by manifesting an obedient faithfulness. This was the kind of faith Abraham possessed. His heart was turned toward God in an enduring trust, obedience, and submission. He trusted him. That's what God is calling us to be like. He's calling us to trust. It's some powerful, powerful things that I'm just waiting for God to do with y'all so I can just be hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, because I know he is able. It's crazy. Okay. Let's finish with six. And he counted to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit. I said, I brought you out to give you this land. God is always giving us something. He's always giving us something. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat of 3 years old and a ram 3 years old and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took it unto him, all these, and divided them in the midst and laid each piece against the other, but the birds divided he not. So he cut those three right down the middle, slayed them open. Now watch this. When the fowls of the air came upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, watch this, and he said unto Abram, this God, know of surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. He's giving them a prophetic word. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. God is just giving it to him. It was his heart. It was his belief that triggered God to do it. And thou shalt go and thy fathers in peace and shall be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp was passed between those pieces. A smoking furnace and a burning lamp. God came down and walked. Eyes open, your spiritual eyes. Not these. These want to see flesh. These want to feel something, touch something. Your spiritual eyes. God came down, walked in. Watch. and walked, he said, and the burning lamp and passed between those pieces. And in the same way, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying unto thy seed have I given this land, from the rivers of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates, and the Canaanites, and the Kezanites, and the and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Jigazites, and the Jebusites. He gave them all the ites. He gave them power over all the ites. See, let me tell you something. We're his descendants. And some of the little stuff we're going to, God has given us power over that too. Ooh. The Lord just told me. He said, some of our family members, we got to quit carrying the burden and commit them to God's hands. We got to quit walking around with that burden. That's not the burden that the Lord wants us to carry. I'm going through with my kids, their mama's death, and all this and that and the other. But guess what? The Lord keep telling me that you're not going to be carrying that long, bird. I got some other stuff for you. That is not yours to carry. Yeah, you carrying it now while you trying to help them get through it, trying to ease on through it. But as soon as God tell me they're through it, pew! I'm going to get me another place and let them go on. I'm going to help them. I'm going to be there for them and love on them and share the word with them and everything. But I got to do what God wants me to do. I got to keep moving forward. The enemy wants to use trials, tribulations, troubles to hold you back. He's been using that for years to stop you from walking in the best that God got for you. He tried to get Abraham with this not being able to bear a child. He was trying to get Abraham with that. He was trying to get him with it. But Abraham said, forget it. I'm going to believe. Let's go over to Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Watch this. Now watch the blessings. Watch all that he has to lose if he don't obey. If he can't see it. And I'm sharing this with you all because it's the same thing goes for us. It's the same thing. Abraham is just our forefather. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out. Woo! Woo! This right here is powerful. Get out. Go. Get out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. My God. What if he showed you Hamilton Street in Highland Park, told you to go? Like, man, I rebuke the devil. I rebuke you, man. Highland Park used to be beautiful. Used to be beautiful, man. But it would be rough. What if he told you, I need you to go down over there off of Oakland and Claremont? It's tough. It's rough. That's a rough area. But the point of it is, God always got something. He always working 10 steps ahead of what you thinking. He said, verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. I want y'all to listen to this good. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. He's a blessing to me. I thank God for him being obedient. So Abram departed, and the Lord had spoken unto him, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed unto Haran. Let's go to Galatians 3, verse 14 through 29. Is that 1205 or 205? Man, I've been preaching all that time. Man, that went by fast. Galatians. Amen. No, I'm trying to get you to understand something, y'all. You're powerful. You're powerful. If you can get past that junk that the enemy keep trying to put in your head, come on, get out of it. Your spirit, man, is a different entity than your flesh. Your flesh is just the house for your spirit, man, y'all. Oh, come on. This is just the house. This is just to get your spirit, man, around. Man, I'm believing God for some stuff, y'all. I'm believing him. But I got to be obedient to the little bitty things that he wants to do with me. Oh, my God. Like this word. I wanted to preach on the two eyes. When I woke up, and it was rolling around in my eye. I knew this was the word. And then Teresa got up and spoke on part of it. I'm not going to even go there now. I'm not going to even go that far. Let me tell you something, man. You're blessed. You're blessed. Some days I get up, man, I be like, oh, my back. Oh, my arms, my neck, my head, my feet, everything hurt. And I be like, Lord God, strengthen me. What did I do last night? All I did was go to sleep. Was I karate fighting in my sleep? All I did was go to sleep. Lord, how'd I wake up this beat up? I'm just telling you the truth. It ain't fun growing old. But it is with the Lord, because I just keep going. I got a lot to do for you, God. Oh, let me get back to this. Okay, Galatians 3. Now watch this. I want to show you this. Here's the blessing. Yeah, the blessing, the blessing, the blessing. Man, the blessing, the blessing. You hear him on TV talking about the blessing, the blessing, the blessing, the blessing. You hear him on the radio, the blessing, the blessing. I'm like, well, why don't you say what the blessing is? I asked God, and God said, it's Abraham. And I was like, it's Abraham. And I went over there, and I was like, revelation. Okay, watch this. Galatians 3, 14 through 29. I'm going to tell you something, people. Oz is the king of revelation. He the king. Oz can give you some revelation, bro. You can be sitting up here, your head will be swimming. I mean, when I first got here, I'm like, where? How did he get over there? Revelation. Revelation. Revelation is his lot. God gave him that. He can break down some scriptures for you in a heartbeat. Okay, here we go. Let me get back on this. 2, 3. Okay. 14:20, I'm going to start in 14. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Listen to what I just said. Listen to me. That the blessings of Abraham might come on. Might. The promise of the Spirit through faith. It's through faith, y'all, that we can obtain it. It's through faith. We gotta believe. Some days I just be driving to work. The blessings of Abraham are mine. The blessings of Abraham are mine. I'm walking in the blessings. The reason why I'm saying it, because I'm building up my spirit man. I'm building up my spirit man. It's got to be more to my life than what I've accomplished. How many of y'all at home feel the same way? Quit playing, get in the word, and find out what God got for you at home. He got something for everybody. If he called you to be a pastor, be a pastor. Do that first. Do it. Let the time, wow, who am I talking to? Let the time go by. Let God do, erect, take things out and erect things in you to get you ready. It's greater things. But guess what? The person that has everything to lose is you. So you got to learn how to be obedient. Man, it's hard being obedient sometimes. You're dealing with heathen co-workers and heathen neighbors. My goodness. It's just not easy. But God never said it was going to be. But he's working something out of you, and he's working something in you too. At the same time, when he takes something out of you, he puts something else in there. You better hear me. Oh, I'm enjoying this message. It's going pretty good, ain't it, y'all? Okay, let me finish this. Okay, 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or added thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. We got promises, y'all. God said he gonna look out for us. He gonna take care of us. He said it. You gotta know right where you are now. Come on, y'all, right where you are now. He gonna tell you to do something that you ain't gonna feel comfortable with. Then you know it's God. Come on, out of these comfort zones, y'all. Oh yeah, come on, Holy Spirit. I feel you kicking in big time because you're talking to me. Come on out of these comfort zones. Man, I've been like, Lord, what's going on, man? I know my faith. I got faith enough to get a GM job or a Ford job or a Chrysler job. What's the hold up? I said, I know my faith is bigger than that. Why ain't it happening now? You now, you in the now, I want it now. But I never asked him, was I ready for it? Women walking around, scampy little outfits on at work, and bosses wanting to scream and holler and yell at you. And I backtracked a little bit. I said, okay, Lord, there's something you want to show me. Show it to me. Don't let me get over in that and I have a bigger problem. See, don't think I ain't believing. Every time I ride past the plant, I say, thank God. Thank you for my job. I know it's coming. See, because I see some things that I can set up. Once I get that job, I get the finances coming in. It's some giving I want to do. It's some major giving I want to do. I'm talking about $1,000, $1,500. That kind of giving. Because I want God to expedite some things for me. And it ain't going to come with no $100 or $200. He just ain't gonna let me get by with that. He going to want me to step out of my comfort zone and give something that's going to hurt. And I'm believing him for the job so I can do it. And then on the flip side, I'm believing for a whole nother landscaping setup. I got a friend that I could possibly persuade to take it. See, trying to get some things happening, but you gotta believe and you gotta be obedient. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. He promised us. He promised us health. He promised us land. He promised us that our descendants would be prosperous. But it's all by faith. You have to use your faith to get that. You got to use your faith just like Abraham did. Let me keep going. Wherefore, then serveth the law. It is added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scriptures have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. It's all about your faith, people. I'm telling you. It's all by faith. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. For the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Remember, let me tell you something. Remember when you first got saved and gave yourself to God? Remember? And you said, Lord, come into my heart. Save me now. You did it by faith. You did it by faith. That's the same faith that it takes for us to get God to move on other things in our life. It's the same faith. It's the same faith. I didn't have anybody leading and guiding me. Okay, Lord, I hear you. Okay, let's turn over to Romans chapter 10 real quick. Let me watch this. It's the same faith, people. We have to believe and trust in God that God got something for us, but it's going to be something that's mandated on your part to do. Watch this. I'm going to prove it to you. I hear you, Holy Spirit. Let's go to Romans 10 real quick. Watch this. Verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word is nigh thee. It's right there. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, woo! The Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the same way you get God to move. Believe it in your heart, and you say it with your mouth. You gotta say it out of your mouth. It's a loan for just being quiet, y'all. You can't say it on the inside. You got to say it so that it's defying everything around you. It's defying everything around you. Your flesh, nothing can happen. Nothing can happen. But if you keep speaking out that negativity over your life, you can best believe that's all that's coming to you. That's all that's coming. You gotta, man, faith. Faith is a force. It's a power. Somebody in here, God is saying, lay aside all those things that so easily beset you. Those worldly things, those things that don't mean nothing, those things that's not going to graduate you to a new level in Christ. His hands are tied, but you got to use your heart and you got to use your mouth to get Jesus and the angels to move. What is your angel doing for you? Is he just sitting there waiting for you? Man, I'm sorry. I got to deliver the word the way God is giving it to me. And I ain't only preaching to y'all, I'm preaching to myself. God wants us making things happen. We got to get out of the old ordinary and get over into the spirit, which is going to always challenge what you think you know. The Holy Spirit is so much higher and greater and vast than whatever you can ever think of. So why don't you just ask him, Holy Spirit, what is it that I need to be doing? I know it's a good word, amen. I'm getting shouted down, but it's okay. Getting shouted down. Just don't throw no apples and no tomatoes, man, like they used to do back in the day. I'm just messing with y'all. Okay, let's finish this up and then I'm gonna wrap it. Hey, where did I leave off at? But after faith is come, verse 25 in Galatians 3. But after faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Those words are so sweet to my spirit. Ye are the children of God by faith. Your faith is everything. Oh, Scott, your faith is everything, brother. Come on, Gary, your faith is everything. You coming out. Come on out. Your faith can lead you right out of whatever you in. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Ooh, that is beautiful, man. Ooh, that's beautiful. There is neither Jew or Greek. There is neither bond or free. There is neither male or female. For ye are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Go home. Whatever you do, go home and start looking up the promise. Okay, I got a couple of them right here. It says, a promise that all families on earth would be blessed through Abraham. All Gentiles. It's not bad being a Gentile. It's not bad. See, God loves us. He loves each and every one of us. For the sake of time, go on. Look those promises up. He really, really opened up the door for us. But man, you gotta believe you out of whatever you in. You gotta believe it first before you get out. You ain't gonna get out if you don't believe. You have to. You have to believe. Man, y'all remember I was trying to get over to the other building? Listen to this. Yep. Trying to get over. We got a brand new building, hooked it up and everything, man, everything in there. And I'm like, man, they just wouldn't let me go. They wouldn't let me go. So, boom, got an opportunity. Got slow at the building on Joslin Road right there by Great Lakes Crossing. It got real slow. He said, hey, Bird, I was like one of the last ones called to go over there. He said, hey, Bird, you're packing stuff, you're going to go over there. Because he already knew they was going to try to keep me. But he the general manager, he can make the call. So I got over there, I stayed over there a couple of weeks. They didn't even give me no notice. I'm sitting there working. They said, yeah, Bird, get your stuff, man. You got to go back to the other building. I'm like, man. All right, let me just go back. I just went on and went back. So I got over there, worked there for a couple of weeks. And then the Holy Spirit told me, he said, man, you going back. They're going to come and ask you. He said, they're going to come and ask you. Don't go to them. Just wait. They're going to come and ask you. I'm like, yeah. Because I don't know why the Holy Spirit wanted me to work on this particular Cadillac program, but he did. So I waited. And now I'm seeing the car. I'm like, man, what's going on? Now it's like, who want to go home at 12 o'clock? He going around the clipboard. Oh, yeah, he going home. I'm like, going home? I said, man, I got up at 6 o'clock to go home at noon? Why you didn't call me at home? So now it ain't nothing to do. So now we in there trying to keep looking busy. So when one of the supervisors walked by, but we ain't got nothing to do. So I'm like, forget it. I just rolled over in my vacation days. So I just, man, I had a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, half a day, and just added the other couple of hours on to it. And I was like, man, Lord. And then the next week, it was the same thing. I'm like, man, God, why don't you just leave me over there? So he said, remember what I told you? So it's barely anything going on now. And they came and said, hey, hey, Bird, they can use you over at the other building. It's starting to pick up. So I get over there and get over, and they on 10 hours. They working overtime. I'm like, yeah. So now I'm in there. So about a week after I'm there, I start hearing these little whispering. These couple of guys whispering, and I catch, yeah, I'm leaving on so-and-so day. Don't tell nobody. I'm like, oh. Okay, Holy Spirit, I see you working. Work it, yeah. I'm like, work it, Holy Spirit. So boom, he leaves. I'm like, okay, that's one down. So a couple more weeks went by. And then the other guy told me, man, I'm getting out of here, man. Yeah, man, So he left. I'm like, ooh, this is looking good for me. This is looking good. And when he left, I went to the general manager. I say, man, you got two guys missing. You ain't going to replace them. Them guys been there 12, 13 years. I said, the only person can replace them is me. I've been here longer. He said, I know. He said, yeah, Bert, I'll bring you over here, but if I ever need you to go back over there, I'm like, no. I'm trying to stay here. And it got to the point to where they brought the supervisor that was my supervisor on Joslyn Road over there on Rochester Road where we are now. So now we really need people big time. So I know I'm not going anywhere, but it took a while, but I believed God to get me out of Joslyn because the painters didn't know what they were doing. Prepping, I mean, we would get the car and you really be working trying to get the car together. If anybody here knows about paint, you're going to have some fish eyes, some craters, but when you're doing pinstripes that's on the side of the car and it's under the clear coat, you have problems because you got to overlay it a little heavier than normal. Man, it would be runs and stuff everywhere. And it would just be a hard time trying to get this car right. What I'm trying to say to you is that God pulled it where I'm over there now. I'm away from all of that rigorous, hard, crazy working. And now I'm in a place to where I'm working and I can think and I can listen to my tapes, and I can listen to the podcast, and I can listen to my Bible on my headphones because ain't nobody screaming it and hollering and yelling and going back and forth about what's going on with this and what's going on with that. But I'm here to tell you all, y'all, faith is the key. Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. And listen to me, and listen to me good. Our faith is being counted to us as righteousness. That don't mean pull out your license and go sin. You got to go sin license and just start doing anything that you want to do because then that's not righteous. It's not righteousness. But God got a plan for each and every one of us. For each and every one of us. Business plan, plans to teach, plans to take you somewhere you never thought. But you just gotta get the garbage out of your spirit, man. You gotta get all that stuff coming at your spirit trying to choke it out and stop you from believing so that God can move. Father, I thank you today for this word. It was powerful. It was great. You blessed me. You even opened up some new revelation for me, God. Continue to be with each and every person here. Continue to watch over them and their families. Give them courage, Lord God, to break out of that, the things that are easy and to dredge forward into those things that are of you and allow you to bless them in their hands. In the name of Jesus Christ.